in the name of Jesus. Even this moment, as the rivers of your worship flow to our vessel, we ask that you grant us such ventilation, that is needed for us to inhale you and exhale you. Enough inhalation that will bring rest to our souls. Enough inhalation that we break the hold of crisis and fear on our minds. Just like did to the first man in the Garden of Eden, you breathe on him. And we ask tonight that it might please you. Breathe on us. And cause your manifold power to subdue every activity of unrest. Bring us into liberty by your spirit. Oh my God. Liberty by your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Let a little one become a thousand. The small one become a strong nation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. It's a mighty privilege to be given you the opportunity to come before the throne of the Lord. You know, David said in the book of Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Acts chapter 1. I want to continue from where we stopped yesterday. God bless you in Jesus' name. The former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, been seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. Can we jump? Verse 6. I don't want to talk about John's baptism, because the next verse is talking about the fact that John's baptism was a true one. We don't need to go there. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times all the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. So yesterday we saw that the first significant thing that was introduced in the apostolic school when Jesus was attempting to build sufficient capacity, such capacity that was needed for the functionaries in the labor of the gospel to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God and prosecute a global enterprise. The first requirement was that they had to encounter the living Christ. If you go to theological college and you graduate from that place without encountering the living Christ, when you are given an ordination and armed with an old King James Bible to do damage to the kingdom of darkness, suddenly you realize you are insufficient. Because it's not a game of letters and logo. It's a game of spirit and life. And if you have not met him that is alive, you cannot do the business of life. I'm not talking about good and bad. I'm talking about life and death. Those are two different things. So what makes you an able minister of the new covenant is an encounter with him that is alive. And he's willing to do that with many infallible proofs to bring us to the point where we know of a truth that he is alive. Nothing can fight that. Just like I said yesterday, they can take away the coat of many colors. Your physical security can become haunted. And suddenly, the source from whence your supply comes in the natural can be shot. But if you know him that is alive, you will realize that every man is a channel and God is the source. And he can choose to close one door just because he has opened another one. So it doesn't matter what channel he uses, he remains the source of your life. You need to know that he is alive. And sometimes when you begin to confuse men for sources, he does something very dramatic to put you out of favor. He will personally ensure that that source closes so that you can have a rethink, a reorientation. You can eventually come into compliance with the fact that he's your source. When your God is living, because many of you, your God is in a book. But when you have a living God, even when the book is closed, the living God speaks inside of you. And if there happens to be a legislation in the earth that outlaws the reading of the Bible, you will find out that the Word of God is actually living and active. It's the one that manages the economy of your heart if you have given your life to Christ. And the voice of the Lord that used to visit Adam in the cool of the day can rise from within your heart and bring perspective and challenge the standards of darkness. I pray that you will know this personality of which I speak, because he is alive today. We're about to celebrate Easter. For many of us, Easter will be a celebration that affords us the opportunity to eat fresh banku and tilapia. But for many of us, we celebrate Easter every day because he's alive today. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion. By many infallible proofs. There are still other proofs he will make available to you. When the witches orchestrate an accident and they build all the structures to ensure that that accident comes to pass. And then you come out without a scratch. It was not that the witches were planning to fail. That was not the intention. But the living one was on your side. And again, through infallible proofs, he's determined to prove to you that he is alive. So one of the necessary prayer points we need to engage this today is to take a moment and stop and request from the living one for a sign. When you challenge him like that, he's excited. Because he's alive. Every moment before I come to stand on the stage like this, I must see him in the closet. So I'm not afraid of your face. So when he makes a whisper, I say, turn right, my hand is there. Then I begin to act it. I move right. Not because I can do anything. But I know his signal, he's there right now. And he's willing to show himself alive. He's not just there as a spectator, watching how things will turn out, and hoping that it turns out positively. He's there with an outstretched hand. And so the Bible says, who has believed our report? That's the three questions of redemption. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You see, the arm of the Lord is only revealed to such as believe the report. One of the things that was greatly contested was whether or not he rose. So the question now is, who has believed it? And if you get to believe it, then you are entitled to experiencing a manifestation of his hand. The third question of redemption in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 says he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? So there's a migration from believing the report. Then he comes to show you that he's alive. Then the end product will be that you become the heralder of his generation. I pray that the transition will be complete in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. So the school has started. Have you ever been for a lecture before in your life? And when the lecturer came, he pointed you. What's your name, sir? What's your name? Johnson. He points to Johnson and say, Johnson, anytime you come for this lecture, you must sit here. That's a command. A commandment is not lecture tone. Do you realize that? Don't command in lectures. The first thing that Jesus did after he proved to them that he was alive was that he began to give commandments. So this is not an ordinary type of lecture. Okay, you don't believe that.
All right.
Verse 4. I'm hoping we'll make some progress this evening. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, what did he do? He commanded them. It was supposed to be a seminar for education. But his approach to capacity building is a bit different from what you find in a physical lecture. Because the moment he was able to bring order to the classroom and they were assembled together, he drew his ears and said, make sure you wait for me in Jerusalem. Is that still a lecture? Because, some of you have forgotten the theme of the seminar. The theme of the seminar are the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. So he's showing them kingdom. In kingdom, the Lord calls the shots. So if you are still the one in charge, you are not under the influence or the authority of the kingdom. I told you that before Jesus came into your heart, he was on the cross to satisfy the claims of divine justice. He died, was buried, went to the underworld and preached the gospel, and afforded heaven the opportunity to test his blood on the scales of justice, judgment, and equity to see if it was an effective overhaul for the menace of sin in God's justice system. Right? When he resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, he commissioned the possibility of the newness of life, because it's on the operating system of resurrection that is expecting you to live the new life that you have begun in Christ Jesus. Are you there? Then he was taken to the heavens. He ascended. You know, the Bible says it was Jesus that said, no man has ascended to heaven at any time save Jesus who is in heaven. And he was talking to Nicodemus in the book of John chapter 3. You are not with me. Because someone can claim that Elijah ascended to heaven using a chariot of fire. You didn't read the scripture very well. He said, no man has ascended to heaven at any time. Elijah did not ascend at will. He waited for the transport system to come. Right? But Jesus, when he finished talking, he said, okay, I'll catch you guys. And he ascended at will. No man has ever done that. One of the signs of the fact that he was not a creature of earth was that when he finished his discussion, he ascended at will. No man has ever ascended to heaven at any time except the Son of Man. Try to ascend and try. Don't you like rapture? You don't like rapture? It's not given to men to ascend except God causes it to be so. But Jesus ascended by will. And the angel that came to educate the apostle said, the same way he ascended, that's how he's going to come back. He will come at will too. He won't need your prayer to come back. He will come back by himself. Just like he didn't need your prayer to rise from the dead. So when he got back to heaven, a coronation took place. It was on the strength of his return to heaven that he was declared Lord and Christ. Are you with me? The consequence of his being declared Lord is that he was given a name that is above every name. It's in that coronation service that he was given that name. Are you with me? You're not with me. You know, the angel gave his name that he shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Is that true? And the Bible says he was given a name that is above every name. It's still the name Jesus. It's not so that you will know that it's not nomenclature that is the matter. Oh, you are not with me. In the realm of the spirit, names are not for identity. Say, okay, this is Brother Albert. That's not the reason for names in heaven. Because inbuilt in heaven is an automatic discernment protocol. The atmosphere of heaven was what took place around the Mount of Transfiguration. And when that atmosphere was built, the apostles could recognize Elijah, even though they have never met him. They could recognize Moses, even though they had never met him. It was not through his dress code that they recognized him. They knew him by default, because the atmosphere carried inherent discernment that gives people the ability to identify people. So when you get to heaven, nobody will say, ah, this is Apostle Paul's chamber. There will be no need for that. Because when you show up, there is an inbuilt discernment system that is activated. So when we talk about names, it's not for taxonomy. It's not for the purpose of nomenclature. It is for the purpose of authority. So names in the spirit realm is for rank, not for identification. Those days in human empires when letters are written, they are sealed with the king's ring. If you don't have as much authority as that ring, as the one that sealed it, you can't break the seal. So one of the ways you know that the letter is authentic is that you read the seal. It is only the one that the letter is addressed to that now has the authority to break that seal. Because breaking the seal is an act of government. I don't have time. Are you here? So names are not for identification. Names are for signets, for authority. And so the Bible says, because his name was Jesus before, and his name is still Jesus now. But what happened to the name when he ascended into heaven is that it was given authoritative capacity. And the effectiveness of the name was now in heaven, was now on earth,
and was now beneath the earth, so that any time the name is mentioned, knees bow. That's the implication of his being brought into the capacity of lordship. Are you with me? All right. The implication of his being brought into the capacity of Christ is that he becomes the administrator of the purposes of God. There is no purpose of God that will be administered, that will be fulfilled apart from his office. It is through his office that the Father relates with you. And it's through his office that your prayer can get to the Father. Have you ever prayed before and maybe you labored in prayer for a few hours and you knew that what you were praying about was answered? Ever happened to you before? Huh? It happened to you? How did you know? You just felt it. Let me tell you what happened. It was that office that furnished that knowing on your spiritual senses. Without that office existing in the spirit, you cannot know the fate of your transaction. Are you here? Now, it was as Lord, that he came into your heart upon your salvation. He did not come into your heart as Savior. It was as his designation as Lord that he came into your heart. Oh, you don't believe? In the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, if you can believe in your heart, what? Okay. You don't know that scripture. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who? Lord. So it was a Lord that you confessed to. One that was adequately seated in the capacity of lordship. You confessed to him. It's just like when you want to commission an altar, a demonic altar. It's a very rigorous spiritual ceremony. Hallelujah. You know, some of you don't go on missions. So what you know is in Sunday school. And when you leave church, you forget what you study. Because when you get to the filling station and you insult the man that is serving for it, everything, demons have stolen everything. Have you ever seen someone that was grounded in the faith through Sunday school? Okay, let me leave you. Some of us go to the field to preach, so we know what happens there. Before an altar is commissioned, after all the items are gathered, they can ask you to bring an alligator. His intestine will be used as part of the condiments to establish the altar. You know that bird that follows cows, the white one, that perches on them to pick their ticks? You will catch that bird. And not dead, though. You will bring it back alive. I hope you know the wisdom involved in trapping that bird and bringing the bird alive. Those are the things you will put together to commission an altar. And then when all the things are done, there is a moment which is most critical. You will need to, if you were a Christian, you will need to renounce your being a Christian. If you were a Muslim, you will renounce it. And then you do a confession to the spirit that powers the altar. It is that confession that brings you under the authority of that spirit. So if you have never been on the field, you might not know the action behind that scripture. A Lord is sitting on his throne as a monarch, and then you came and confessed, I believe you are Lord. Are you following? That's not all. That's his current status. Then you also need to testify about his immortality. I believe that you were raised from the dead. The first thing the Lord will give you is that he will stretch his scepter and your spirit will be regenerated. Say you are discharged and acquitted. That's why you were saved. It was the activity of a monarch's authority that effected that. You are not with me. You think it was a savior you went to meet to save you. That's what the average Christian thinks. He doesn't know that he's interfacing with the Lord. It is part of the complements of his lordship that manifests as salvation. So that Lord now comes to establish his command tower upon your heart. That is where he rules from. You think it's a savior that you admitted into your heart? I came to discourage you. You confess to a Lord. So most of you forget that you went to that Lord's throne to confess him. So when he now comes into your life, he can't rule because you have your own agenda. You have your own dreams. You have your dreams. Things that you have spelled out. So you are hoping to use his resources to sponsor your dreams. I'm just trying to tell you why it seems you are bound. It's because your theology is fake, is false. Okay, you don't like my talk. Okay, let me leave you. When you labor like this for under 2 years, if you need what I'm preaching, send a message to the pastor. Say, we want that complete message. It seems you still like the way you are. This part you followed, I followed it more than you. What I found was wind, emptiness, because I was looking for what was not lost. It was not Adam's purse that got lost in the Garden of Eden. So, in the recovery, the high place of the recovery cannot be prosperity, because that's not what God lost. Did you hear that? A purse and a press fell down in Eden. Are you with me? It was a Lord you confessed. And then when you confess to that Lord, he stretched forth his scepter and declared you righteous. That declaration of righteousness on you judicially is what we call justification. Justification is proof that your quarrel with God has ended. And I'm quoting from the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The result, the organic result of justification is that peace floods your heart. You know that the quarrel you had with God in the rebellion of humankind has been satisfied. But don't miss it. You will begin to miss it if you miss this point. It's not a savior that saved you. It's a Lord that saved you. He was already installed as Lord before he commissioned salvation. And when he comes into your heart to reign, he comes there to set up his command tower. His command tower will be managed by the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost happens to be the infrastructure that connects you to the workings of his administration and his throne. It seems it's rocket science. I'm trying to. Okay, let's leave that. Don't worry. It's rocket science. You are looking at it. We need to build. Because if Satan encounters you and you don't know your foundation, you can't win. You don't know your source. You don't know where you are talking. Okay. Do you still remember that story of when Jesus rose up from the boat? He was sleeping. Peter tried to calm the storm. He could not. And it was not because he was a novice. He was a master of waves. But that wave that day was not just a normal wave. So he went back to the master and said, "Carest not thou that we perish?" And Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind. Notice that was his first reaction from sleep. He didn't process it in his mind. That's his default mode. What did he do? You are not here. Let's leave that. No. You are wrong. You are wrong. Because you are clapping for the wrong person. When you are ready for Bible study, tell him. He will send for me. Now,
That thing he did when he rebuked the wind. The source of that kind of authority is knowing who you are. He knows who he is. That's why he can do that. This knowing who you are, there's a doctrinal part and there's an encounter part. If you know the doctrinal part, it's not enough. You will still be a victim. And I'm telling you from experience, because I walk the path that I'm teaching. Some of you know the doctrinal part of who you are. That's not enough to confront the devil. You will need to know the encounter part. Are you with me? For instance, one of the compliments of the grace of God that I have is that I'm a carrier of God's presence. And I can prove it. It's proven. I know it. He wake me from sleep. It's written on my hand. And I know the powers that accompany that. So when I rise up from sleep, there are some things I can do because I know who I am by doctrine and by encounter. If they wake you up from sleep, you can't do what Jesus did if you don't know. So one of the most terrible things that happens is that the devil keeps us in a situation where we don't understand the architecture of our belief system. And as long as there are gaps in your belief system, your faith will not be strong enough in the day of battle. And the rating of your capacity is consistent with your manifestation in the day of battle. For the Bible says, if you fail in the day of adversity, it is because what? Your rating in the spirit is small strength. So it's not how you operate outside of battle that is your rating. You can speak, I'm speaking tongues and your voice is so loud. No. I've seen those kind of people. They are empty people. When you put them in battle, that's when we know if you know the living Christ practically and pragmatically. Come with me. Jesus commanded them. And what was the commandment? Tarry ye in what? In Jerusalem. Now, you know God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So why will Jesus ask them to remain in a location? God is everywhere. So the Holy Ghost can come down and in the mosques, can come down in the market. But Jesus said, the first commandment he gave them was, there is a location you will need to be in order for you to be aligned with the promise I want to give to you. So the first thing I need to bring to your notice that was part of that lecture was that Jesus revealed the difference between the secure place, the appointed place. Please don't bring anybody to the front again. Okay? You must know the secure place. You must know the appointed place. Because what he was commanding them was about the appointed place. And you don't have the authority to choose your own appointed place. If you are doing kingdom, he will choose your appointed place for you. Because there are many people that choose places and expect God to endorse. He will choose your husband for you. I know you don't like that. He chooses the appointed place for those that he has called to himself. There might even be two jobs, and then he chooses the one with the least salary. Except you know that he has the authority to choose your appointed place. There are promises that have been made of the Father that you will never inherit. You want to become a star. There's nothing wrong with that desire. But the labor that will bring you into the fullness of what God has available for your life is your ability to stay in the appointed place. I'm going to explain that further. The first sign of a kingdom man is that he doesn't stay where he wants to stay. He stays where God has planted him. When God labors over your life, that's the development stage
When you come into maturity, he now deploys you to the place of operation to establish his kingdom in that locality. That's the appointed place. It's the Lord of the harvest that chooses where you will function. Meanwhile, the training he has given you is sufficient for you to have the wisdom to deal with the devils that is in that sector. All right? It is not every kingdom person that God will put behind the pulpit. In fact, the percentage of war horses, if you go study horses, because the metaphor that was used to describe the end time army in the book of Joel chapter 2 is the metaphor of the horse. And the four war horses were cited in that prophetic release. And it happens to be that the war horse is the least in the family of horses. If you have watched those medieval films, it's the war horse that is used to pull the chariot of the king. The war horse is 4% of the horse family. Alright? That's what the preacher is today. So the reason why he is raising you is not because of a pulpit, necessarily, but a platform. Alright? The grace we have as officers, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, is for capacity building, because the scope of work that is available for the church to prosecute in terms of bringing adequate return on investment on the capacity of the blood of Jesus and his redemptive power. Jesus died for the whole world, even those occultic people. So the business we're talking about is an enterprise that will bring adequate return on investment for the price of his blood. So the apostles and the prophets are saddled with the responsibility of building capacity in the house of God so that every believer can be involved in the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is not here. The work of the ministry is in the offices and on the streets. And that's what we call the marketplace. So you must understand the secure place, which is your relationship with God. You control that place. You determine when your prayer time will be, whether night or morning, right? And then by reason of that which you have established in that discipline, God will find windows and moments to appear to you. That's your secure place. And if you don't have that place that you run to, you will lose in the market. Then we have the appointed place, which is what is revealed here. Tarry in Jerusalem, and it was a commandment. It is only foolish people that will go ahead and marry without consulting. As if you know what will happen in the next 25 years. You just take off like a tornado. You say, see her way. You are out of sync with his government. May the Lord give you understanding. May Jesus. The challenge that we have is that the preachers never told us that you will not prosper if you are not at the appointed place. Go and read all the books on success, you will still fail. The people that lecture in the Lagos Business School don't have a business. Have you heard of? They have not successfully run businesses in that city. But they have all the statistics. This is how it happens. It's cheap to talk. But a man that has walked what he's talking, God will back him up. He becomes an oracle. That's the difference. If you are a preacher of the gospel here, decide not to be a preacher. Decide to be an oracle, a man that God can back up. When God backs you up, it's not just backing up your message. It's backing up your prayer life. It's backing up your lifestyle. Yes, that's what he's doing. He's projecting you. It means you can be followed. If someone follows you, the person will not miss home. Because there's nothing as great as a living example. I know you won't like kingdom, because the kingdom messages don't pet you. Say, you are looking great. You are going somewhere. Wake up. Hallelujah. Those pet talk are for babies. When you want to do the master's business, get set to be commanded. And he commanded them, saying, tarry ye. There is something about the appointed place. You cannot be outside of that place and expect to receive the promise of the Father. That's the first requirement of alignment. Laboring to be in the appointed place. A business marketer traveled all the way from Maiduguri. There's a place in Nigeria. It's north. It's the core north of Nigeria. Maiduguri. Traveled from there to meet me in Lagos. So, our pastor in Lagos now said, our father in the Lord is busy. After this meeting, he will not have time to see people. The guy told him, you are rude. So when the message got to me, I said, okay, let's see this man. Let's be nice to him. No problem. Let him come. The first thing he told me is that you are not wise. I said, okay. Thank God I have someone around that has wisdom. So I gave him seat to teach me this wisdom he has found. Came with a prophecy. And the Bible said, despise not prophesying. That's what he said. So I said, all right. Let's find out. So the guy said, do you realize he brought his computer out, showed me a pie chart. So this pie chart is the community of people that are following you worldwide. I said, okay, yeah, great. And then he now started teaching me how that this pie chart is a market. So you must have a product to present to this market so that you can get income. Then he now pressed his computer again, showed me the other slide, and showed me some of the products that he has been selling. That is our messages that he has been selling, and this is how much he got. I said, that's great. I'm not stopping you from selling, but your selling will make the gospel spread. Yes. And then when he finished, I now showed him. I said, have you finished? He said, I took him to Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, the first temptation that Satan brought to Jesus was turn these stones to bread. Meanwhile, the Bible says that the people of God are lively stones. So what he's coming to tell me now, I know where the wisdom is coming from. It's from the mouth of Satan. Does he think that I don't know? That thing he brought, doesn't he? He believes I don't know. I don't know that this is the number of people following me. That young man you are seeing with that, let him open his phone. You will see, we know. But the reason why we'll not turn stones to bread is because that's not the assignment. We are not called to merchandise. It is not marketing we are called to do. So I had to disciple the young man. And after my own aspect, because I allowed him to speak and he called me fool how many times, it was part of the lecture. Despise not prophesying. We want to him to say what he received. Alright? The Bible says Paul planted. See, Apollos. Water. Then God did what? Okay. The apostolic formula for growth is that you allow God to give the increase. It's not as if you lose the ability to create increase for yourself. Do you understand? But if you create the increase for yourself, you have violated the apostolic requirement. It means you have power to do your business. So you don't need Holy Ghost power. You will succeed for 5 years. In the 60th year, you will get to a level that Satan will be interested. Because Satan is concerned about who has influence on earth. And he will come to visit you. When he comes to visit you, and the method by which you went up was not the prescribed method, you will not have authority to contend with him. That's when you will know you made a hell of a mistake trying to sell yourself. Do you know how many years I stayed in the cave? Years. Decades. Waiting for such a time. Like John the Baptist. The time appointed of the Father. Where it will not be by tricks, by gimmicks. But just like John was in the wilderness, and the wilderness did not stop him from visibility when his time came. I was willing to wait for him. Even though I understand the methods of marketing, the strategies of packaging, the things you need to do to pull the string so that you can get visibility. If you generate your visibility, even Satan too will notice that you are influential. He will come for you. And he may not come with a fight. He may come with four damsels. Fair to look upon. And then your knee will begin to shake. It means you didn't attend the school that you needed to give you the capacity to serve God at that level. You created what will cut you down. He commanded them saying, tarry ye. Where? You know, I've heard people say, oh, because you have a wonderful secret place, your communion with God is wonderful. There is a temptation for you to think that the commandment Jesus gave doesn't apply to you. I speak in parables. We have the secret place. We have the appointed place. That place is appointed for you. It's chosen for you by the king. He will say, tarry there. The appointed place he chose for me was in the countryside. Senior ministers came to me and said, young man, you will waste here. Just like we wasted. We have seen what God has given you. Move yourself to Abuja. But the critical factor in the kingdom is the appointed place. It's one of the requirements for alignment. I went for a crusade in one of the cities, big cities of Nigeria called Port Harcourt. I and the most senior, recognized, visible minister in that territory were up for that crusade. I had two nights. He had two nights. Preached the first two nights. And I left the city. Then a senior minister in the Baptist church called me and said, move your headquarters to this city now. Move, pack your load. Get everything. Bring everything here. Me, myself, I will help you. Because there is a clap offering in my city about your ministration. He said, what? Tarry ye. Where?
In Jerusalem.
So the first commandment that Jesus gave them was about the appointed place. If we want to troubleshoot your life, to know the reason why there are so many attacks around you, we need to check where you are. Who commanded you to be there? You arrived there by your own wisdom. Maybe you discovered you had an anointing. When you speak, two people will fall down. I say, all right. Glory to God. It's time to show Accra that a young prophet is here. Every day on Facebook, you are there with the backdrop is fire. Fire. The question is, who appointed you? Was the Lord of the harvest involved? But it was your own personal evaluation of your current stature and the possible viabilities that are attached to your possibilities. It is very easy to know if you have a God or not. Most Christians don't have a God. Because if you go to where idolatry is strong, travel to the north for 1 week. Just take a hotel room there and go and study men that have altars. Then you will see the discipline you need to work with the Spirit. We are here, our numbers count for nothing. I assure you. The big auditorium that I feel, it counts for nothing. Because he that striveth for the mastery, he is temperate in all things. Because of your desire to gain spiritual mastery, your sleep will be affected. Huh? Your food, eating, will be affected. Your television, Champions League, will be affected. Because if you are striving for the mastery, you must be temperate in all things. So I can stay without food for many days. And if it's food Satan wants to use to bring me down, he will fail. I have the stamina. Say, I can be on this mission field for 3 months. Never went close to my wife. If it's women, it will wait long. You can slap me and I will leave you. Because I know, and insult me. You know what? Your insult will not affect my calling. So there's no need for me to fight back. Many people have tried lies, public lies. And I didn't answer for 17 years. I was telling you. 17 years. When I pray about it, it says, stand still. You will see the salvation of God. Do you know I stopped wearing my wedding ring because they said I was using supernatural powers to do miracles? So I stopped wearing. They say it's that ring, that when he does the ring like this. He says, stand still. So I stopped wearing it, hoping that the accusations will stop, it multiply. They say now he has swallowed it. It's inside, it's in the stomach. In the stomach. Watch a man that serves an idol. He operates with high level of discipline. Because the only way he can be free, since Satan is not merciful, is to be accurate. But we serve a God of love. And love is supposed to be the means by which we separate to him. Because it's not a tyrant. It's a pleasure to be numbered with him. And that love that is supposed to be the reason for which we are regulated. For Paul says that the love of God, it constrains us. We don't want to break his heart. There's something going between me and him that is so intimate. And that thing I have with him restrains me. That's why I cannot be like this. That's why I cannot be like that. Someone else might do it, not me. Yes. But we have seen that love to be a witness in God. And we were hoping that God were like Satan. The messengers of Satan don't serve him because they love him. They serve him because if you miss it, he will strike hard and give you a scar. But our God is a gentleman. He will never force you to submit to him. It will be an act of your own will. And so the average believer comes to him and then he wants God to serve his ambition. That's why we are not powerful. The Holy Ghost will never be powerful in your life if he cannot call the shots. If he cannot say, stay here. I was in the woods preaching the gospel for 14 years. He abandoned me there. You know what? I now love the woods. When I started liking it, that was when I learned how to cast out devils. Oh, I can cast out devils with this my finger. Now, there were so many devils. We had to become creative about what we did to enjoy. I started liking the woods. There are some places we go to preach, you put drive the car into a ferry and then cross the river. You must have seen some of my videos on the river. Just to tell you that I'm not a city preacher. Jesus preached in towns, he preached in villages. Oh, it's not every time I wear suit. Sometimes you just put on something and there, you're on the move already. You will see me on a motorbike. What I'm doing is transportation. So I will never become that big preacher that must come with a convoy and say, hallelujah, we just got back from... That's a tourist. We now loved him. We started liking how to... We didn't know that it's not where he trains you that he will send you. We loved the village. And we learned how to do mighty things by the Holy Ghost. And when we now love the place, now say, okay, now it's time, go and reside. I will send you to the nations. If I tell you stories of warlocks I've met on this path, I took one of my sons, I said, let's go preach in that place. We escaped accidents 9 times before we got there. And he asked me, he said, Baba, why is this journey like this? I said, sorry, I forgot to tell you. There is a wizard on the other side that has found out that we are coming. He knows that our coming will end this trade. So be patient. There will be peril, but no one will lose his life. Come on. Guess what? When we arrived at the place, the warlock was a church member. He was there with the other brethren. And I finished preaching. I was looking for him. Couldn't find him. Prayed all the prayers. People were healed. The power didn't touch him. And I gave the mic. I was disappointed. And I sat down. When I sat down, people wanted to take the announcement for the day, and the warlock stood up. Who sent him? The ushers fled because his eyes turned red and he looked at them. They knew they didn't have clearance for his time. Even the pastor giving an announcement, he left there because. And so I stood up from my seat. I said, I came for you. Jesus sent me. He said, him too, he has been sent. Oh, the stage for a battle was set. And you know, I like fights. I like it. That's when we will know who sent you. He ran from there to kill me, and I said, do your best. When he got here, he was flown, started convulsing, things started coming out of his mouth. I was born for one purpose, to bear witness to the truth. Boom! Started coming out of his mouth. I broke the chain that he carried. People were confused because he was a church man. How easy it is today for warlocks to join our numbers, and we don't know. It's only when you stay under his authority for long that your true senses will open. Your perceptions will become stronger. Any man that violates his authority will never become his steward. He will never become an emissary for his kingdom. He commanded them that they should not depart out of Jerusalem. Who is your king? Who is he that calls the shots? You woke up the other day, put the picture of 3 men on the wall, say, all of them proposed. I'm seeing the one that will give me 10,000 Ghana cedis. I'm waiting. A day will come, even if you have 10,000 Ghana cedis, you would have prayed that you didn't make that choice. Let me stop here. My message is in chapter 2, but we didn't succeed. Okay, let me add one thing. Verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they were there, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now listen. Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God and how it was intended to invade the earth. And because it is a kingdom that is in the spirit, the first place that God will have to conquer is your heart. God will conquer your heart and establish his throne, his command tower. It is from your heart that his wisdom will flow. Meanwhile, the Bible says that the secret things are with them that fear him. Only those that acknowledge his authority will be able to enjoy the best that he has to offer. That notion that you are going to prosper outside of God's purpose is a hoax. The orientation and the scripture that gives us a perspective about prosperity is that you will need to seek first the kingdom of God. And also the laws, his righteousness there talks about the laws of that kingdom. You need to be right with the laws. You are not a rebel. Because in the kingdom, there are laws. If God gives you an anointing, there is a law that governs it. Just like we have gravity, the law of gravity. Huh? Every grace God gives you comes with laws. You want to be like Samuel, that his voice never fell to the ground. If he speaks, it will come to pass. There are laws you observe. So when you begin to seek the kingdom of God and also seek to be aligned with the prescribed laws that support the operations of God, if you operate that way, the Bible reveals that the things that the Gentiles seek, they will navigate in your direction. You won't need to seek it. It will come to you. I tell you what I practiced. I tell you a life that I've lived. Many people have come like that young guy to teach me skills on how to use ministry to make anointing, to make money. You sell prophecy, you sell anointing, you sell healing. There are laws. Because there's a difference between a laborer and a hireling. A big preacher can be a hireling, and he will lose authority to speak into the land. All he will have are strategies and manipulations. That is a proof that he lacks authority from God. If you have authority, you don't need to manipulate. The Holy Ghost will do the manipulation so that you will be a honorable man. As you are sleeping, somebody will say, you appeared and touched them and they were healed. I was sleeping, taking coffee and sleeping at home. And then someone in Canada said, hey, you came to my room and touched me. And the cancer was on the fourth level, fourth degree. She was ready to die. And she said, I touched her. I was in Makodi taking coffee. And the cancer dried up. She went back to the oncologist. And the man confirmed, I've never been to Canada. So what happened there? Now she believes I'm powerful. So it sends me money. We have never met. I think what God wanted, he knew I needed money. So he just went there and he appeared and touched the woman and said, all right, so. you don't understand? I've seen people before that are bound. And I could see that they were bound. And I could also see that they had a destiny that was heavily financial. I never told them. I said, I break the yoke. And then the person goes five weeks later. Everything opens. See, hey, I'm coming back. You know what? He knows I need money. Because that thing he did, that yoke that broke, and he had gone to various places, he didn't break because God wanted him to meet me. So I now sit and say, how do you? Hey! Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All other things. reveal more kingdom things. No, the times or the season. The word time there. There are two Greek words for time. Are you with me? It's not for you to know the chronos. That's the first word. The time or the kairos. That's the second word. So the word time there is chronos. The word season there is kairos. And the Bible says that chronos and kairos is set under God's authority. Meaning that God has a calendar. Only kingdom men function according to God's calendar. Normal Pentecostals function according to their own calendar. So the first thing Jesus commanded was the appointed place. Second thing was the Father has a calendar. Make sure that you are operating according to the times and seasons of the Father's what? Not your time. Not when you believe that, oh, I've been treated wrongly, so I want to start my own ministry. You will be like Naomi. Let me show you something. Give me John chapter 4, verse 35. Then I stop. John chapter 4, verse 35. John, not Joshua. John. J-O-H-N. He says, say ye, say not ye. There are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. This is your own calendar. Human calendar. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. That is, consider God's calendar. Don't look at your human calendar. Lift up your eyes beyond your human calendar. There is another calendar. And according to that calendar, the fields are white and ready for harvest. Kingdom men operate according to the heavenly calendar. I know how many years people told me that if you take what you have and go to the United Kingdom, you are going to be a star. A star in pounds. Meanwhile, when I was in Dubai, Jesus came and said, focus on the youth. The revelatory powers I gave you, use it to deliver them from destruction. And I will open the gates of nations to you. He told me that. When we started, I started preaching on cable. People got so interested in my ministry, called me up, got invitations to many countries. Then I went back to God and said, oh, you say you open nation, gates of nations to me. Are you the one opening here? He said, I'm not aware there's any door open. The reason for that is, if you have an appetite for international ministry, apart from God's guidance, you would have entered various places that God didn't send you. And you are likely to have children there. Because there will be no grace for you to operate. He didn't send you. It was your lust for international ministry that drove you. Had invitations again the next year. I asked him, are you sending? You say you will open the doors. Say he doesn't know about any door. Second year. Third year, 3 good countries and 1 terrible country. He says it's only the terrible country that he opened. Meanwhile, it's that terrible country I went to that I prayed on water and he healed people from 12 noon to 4 p.m. Is that terrible country I went to? When I was going back to the airport, the driver now said, this is my father-in-law's house. Can you come here and pray for him? I said, why not? You've been driving me everywhere. I'm even looking for what to do to you and do for you. So he brought me there. Then I greeted the man, good evening. The man didn't even answer me. So I found out he was deaf. I put my hands in his ears. I said, who knows how to talk to him? Tell him I will pray for him. His ears will open. Do you know when I touched his ears open? Without prayer. The man started dancing. Started dancing. And his wife was seated. And his wife didn't dance. His wife was just praising God, but she was seated. Then I found out she was crippled. I touched the legs, raised the woman. I said, Jesus, say walk. I left her, she fell. Raise her again. I said, I didn't say fall, I said walk. That's what Jesus said. Left her again, she fell. I said, woman, I didn't say fall, I said walk. So when I raised her, she now put her hand so that if she falls, the chair will cushion the effect. So I kicked the chair away and pushed her, and she started walking. The son now came from a door like this and saw what was happening. I said, this false prophet. He said it in his heart. These false prophets have come. And I went to him and said, you called me false prophet. I heard it like human voice. He denied. So I blew some air on him and he was slain. That's how I left them. I was in the house for 5 minutes. A cripple walked, deaf head, and the lying man was slain. So when we were, my driver was taking me to the airport, he was crying. When we got to the airport, military people arrested me that I made their citizen cry. The man said, if you know that man, you will beg him. So he told them some of the story. So military people were escorting me everywhere. So that they can appease me. They were. I had escort. I came into that country like a preacher. I left like a king. If you have been faithful in the secret, he is going to expose you in the open. That's his business. That's not your business. Visibility is his business. It's not for you to know. The times, the seasons, which God has kept in his own authority. But ye shall receive power. What is your portion to know? It's not for you to know the times of all the seasons, but what is your portion to know is that ye shall what? Receive power. Tonight I say to you, ye shall receive power. Because the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You will become witnesses unto him. Yeah, I know you didn't hear that. Wait, calm down. When he said, he didn't say witnesses for him, but witnesses unto him. What's the meaning of that? It's just like when you go to court, you need somebody to come and witness to strengthen your argument. It means our generation doesn't regard the testimony of Jesus again. He will need witnesses for him. And power is one of the tools by which you can be a witness that will strengthen his position in a particular generation. We just came back from the Volta. And we were witnesses for him. Jesus is reigning in the Volta now. Because we went there with power. If it was a hymn that we took there, a hymn. In fact, it won't be strong enough to make an impression. You will receive power. The word of the kingdom is going to spread across the continent of Africa. And accurate Christians that have a God and a law will begin to rise. And suddenly, the power of God will combat with the altars and the darkness in the nations. Even the political scene will be cleansed. Because righteousness exalts a nation. And sin is a reproach to any people. A new system. A new order of priesthood and possibility. Will begin to rise in the nations of Africa. And that sleeping giant. That is afflicted with diverse infirmities. Will be empowered to speak her voice. And the nations will hear her. That time has come. And the sons and daughters of the land must be galvanized with the strength and the power of God. Oh, the least among our numbers
will become as strong as David. It's Africa's time of recovery. And the hand of God is going to be strong.
Thank you. stop. Strengthen yourself. Let the weak soul around stop. The moment you are waiting for a stop, and righteousness will absorb this nation. The yoke of wickedness and sin, it will break. God opposes time to shine, just like his soul. The people that sat in darkness, they have seen the bright righteous rulers who be elected into office. The entire landscape of politics, of democracy, will be altered because the sons of light are coming. The sons of light are coming. The sons of light are coming. Masters that will manage the economic front. Such people that God will give wisdom to pioneer constants, pioneer systems, solutions.
You now
36 people. Yes. I have put a message on their lips. And they will run with the speed that I will give them. My hand will be.
So that I can prophesy. A door opens. Leave him, leave him, leave him, leave him, leave him. A door opens in the spirit. And Ghana shall be free. Ghana shall be free. For the hand of God will suddenly arise upon her. Hey! See my echo. Esco bekele no si ieto kopelami ambres kufe satakadia. Be strong in the Lord and in the power that is in his man. Aye! Come ne say brusque tamogo dali endo seli bokori aparato. Your vessels shall be filled. The strength of the Lord's arm shall be upon you. Oh, I am Osim. We give you praise. We give you glory. Listen. A door opens over your nation. A door heralding a new season. For new voices the Lord will raise among your people. Voices that will call men back to the place of intercession. Voices that will call men back to the place of righteousness and integrity. A renewal begins, says the Spirit of the Lord. I will renew, he says. I will renew, he says. I will purge. I will replace. I will take away. Time has come that I will make myself known among your people. I'm Omosiko Lamaito Keski Bromeli Suvalamo Kabesik Atoskiso Selami. Now I see a seraphim. I see a seraphim. For in our midst there is a vessel. A vessel that the Lord will purge. He will purge you. And when he has purged you, he will put upon you a linen garment. I see the linen garment in the spirit. The things that you have been through is not because of sin.
It is because of a time of purging, so that your heart can know what is the priority of your king. You went through this season and you did not complain. Now I will clothe you. I will clothe you now. I will clothe you now. I will clothe you now. I will clothe you now with my glory. I will clothe you now with my glory. I will cause your face to shine. I will cause your face to shine. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You see, I tried to stop so that I can start praying for the sick. It's not stopping. It's not stopping. There are two angels here. They are holding a linen garment before me. This linen garment is the reality of His presence in the spirit realm. Two of you in this hall will be carriers of His presence. And so this garment, it comes on you. It comes on you. You are commissioned tonight. You are commissioned tonight. You are commissioned tonight. You are commissioned from this place. Hey! Simetoiko! Milaboko to. Ambrokoske selimo koria. Balisko besek. Ghana will not be the same again. Yes. Ghana will not be the same again. Changes will take place. Even among the priests, there will be substitution. God will come to purge His temple. Thank you, Father. So I bless you. And the Lord causes His face to shine on you. Grace be on you. Grace. You are commissioned to walk in the presence of God and to know the presence of God. Grace is given. He will cause your face to shine. Glory in. You will see a sign. I bless you. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. In the name of Jesus. I proclaim your season. I proclaim it. In Jesus' name. This was where I stood when the angel touched me. I scope a lame, topre eveletos, mei lahura, parasco pele. There's somebody here I'm looking for. Maiko pesco te bresuria, lapores ketos cavatuma, mali brontas kemi nohoria. Shamoke proske fosi. Grace is poured out. Grace is poured out. Grace is poured out. It's poured out. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. Grace is poured out on your vessel. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Akoseli. Thank you, Father. Now we want to pray for the sick in a moment. In the next 10 minutes. In 10 minutes time. Before we start, okay. I will do that when I'm done. Okay. Listen to me. If you came here and you have an eye problem, you know the drill. Just remove your glasses, put in your pocket, lay your hands on your eyes. Lay your hands on your eyes. Just follow my instructions. Martha, you will know. Don't worry, when you get back, this thing I'm telling you, it came to me, the presence of God, came to me 12 years ago. You know, I can have the authority to demonstrate the power of God. You can't do that if you don't have that linen. So you will do it in the future. Okay? If you have a challenge with hearing, you know the drill. Put your finger in the ear that cannot hear. If there is a growth on your body, just touch the growth. If it's on in the womb, maybe fibroid, touch that place that is hard. If it's a cancer, a lump on your breast, just hold it. This applies to those of you that are listening online, because there will be many more miracles online than there will be in this hall. And just in case you have somebody that is sick and you could not bring the person here, take your phone and call the person now. Keep the phone running while I pray. The Lord will heal them using your phone. Quickly, you can do that. You have 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Come. Yes, have you called them? I'm waiting for you. Call that sick person on the phone. Even if he's mad, just call him. Or tell your relatives to put the phone on the ears of the mad person. When you are ready, we'll start. If I say in the name of Jesus, give me a good amen. In the name of Jesus. You see what I see? God is here. The moment you shouted amen, one grave just opened. There is someone programmed for death. The people that want you dead are going to be buried. In the name of Jesus. The story I'm seeing is the story of Mordecai. Someone has built a gallows for you in the office. They have gone to backbite you so that you will not have access to a position that God has prepared for you, but you will get the position and the person will be discovered.
and the person will be in total disfavor. Yes. This sign will come to pass. Yes. In the name of Jesus.
Yes. Sometimes it's difficult to say what you see. But let me put it this way. The Lord is equipping someone. He's equipping you. That's the summary. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Okay, let me be more plain. The angel of the Lord that I saw came with a gift, a present, to hand out to someone. That's how far I can go. If what I say is true, he will prove it. Lord, show me the one you are giving a present. Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. It's, it's coming strong. I don't want to go in that direction. I don't want to go there. In the name of Jesus. Father, I give you glory. I thank you tonight. I ask that you honor my words. And now I bind every spirit of infirmity. I bind every sickness. I bind every disease. I break the yoke of blinding spirits in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of deafening spirits in the name of Jesus. Blinding spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. Blinding spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. Short-sightedness, long-sightedness, glaucoma, astigmatism, strange eye itching, strange eye conditions, the eye dying, blindness coming in, I arrest you, I break your hold, and I say, come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. I bind deafening spirits. Deafening spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. Every growth, cancer, fibroid, all kinds of growth, hear my voice. In the name of Jesus, dissolve. 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 Dissolve now. In the name of Jesus. I speak to mental issues, bipolar effects, schizophrenia, outright madness, loss of memory. In the name of Jesus, I break the yoke. I break the yoke. I break the yoke. In Jesus' name, I speak to paralysis, partial paralysis, pains around the limbs, arthritis, all kinds of initial symptoms of paralysis. I cut you off. I bind you, spirit of paralysis. Go. 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 In the name of Jesus. I say go. In the name of Jesus. Pains on the leg. Pains on the leg. Pains on the leg. I arrest you. Pains on the waist. I arrest you. Pains on the back. I arrest you. Oh my God, there's a movement in somebody's tummy. Break! In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I curse that movement. Every moving object from the tummy side to the neck side to the back side. I break it. I break it. I break it. Those that are connected on the phone, I destroy that sickness on your body. In the name of Jesus. Oh! I'm seeing a migraine. Terrible migraine. And sometimes it can become so excruciating. Sometimes it affects your eye. Now I break that hole. Be gone from him. Be gone from her. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. That one that loses memory, it's a work of a devil. Now I destroy the hold of that spirit on your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That one that almost goes blind in the night, I destroy that yoke. Let the hand of that blinding spirit be cut off. In the name of Jesus. Now I bind asthmas, chest conditions, lung conditions. Hear my voice. Be broken. Be broken. Asthma. Go! In the name of Jesus. I arrest blood conditions. HIV AIDS. Hepatitis B. Genotype issues. Let genotypes change. From SS to AS. From SS to AA. Change! In the name of Jesus. Are there people that have children that have been manipulated? Tried your best. But you see that there is a power responsible for driving those kids into that which is opposite of what you expect. I break that yoke.
Amen.
I break that yoke.
Amen.
Let the manipulation cease.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I am seeing a strange matter that is very difficult for me to say here. Lord, help me. Help me, Father. The matter that I'm seeing is the issue concerning someone's relative. The person is lost. It's lost. Can you hear me? You people in this building, there is one of you whose relative is lost. Where are you? One of your relatives is lost. That's what the Lord is saying. Come. That's what the Lord is telling you. Because. So what happened to you? What's the name of the person?
My auntie.
What's her name?
Caro.
Caro. Now, we want to. She's alive. Caro is alive. Now, I'm going to issue a decree. The spell will break. Caro will come back.
Amen.
Lord, I ask that you send angelic emissaries to the four winds of the earth. And anywhere Caro is, Caro, the yoke on your head breaks now. Come back home in the name of Jesus. Yes. It's done. So you just let us know when Caro comes back, okay? Because Caro is on our way back now. Yeah, on our way back. It's on our way back now. My sosela menobroski for sambala. A mind scotep. They use a demon to send her. She will come. So the healings have started. I will take 5 testimonies and then I will do something and leave. Sorry, it's not my fault. I would have wanted us to close earlier. The Holy Ghost won't let me. Call those people you talk to on the phone, or you begin to talk. Let's start from there. The ones you talk to on the phone, talk to them now and find out if their condition has changed. If there is anyone whose condition changed, stand here. Phone people. If the person you called confirms that his condition changed, stand here. Stand here. You that are present, bring that lady, bring her. You that are present here, if your condition has changed too, you stand there. Bring that lady. Amaseli koparando. Skemoseli karabosiko. Samotia mezi. Mantoske posim. Okay. Do me a favor, just put your hand on her stomach and pray. And pray. Pray. She'll be loose now. She'll be loose. Loser, loser, loser.
Lose her.
Yes. 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 Yes.
That deposit is removed so that she can be free. The curse is broken. Lose her.
Your name of Jesus.
Five testimonies, then I will give you something.
We have one here.
Okay.
This is Brother Kevin.
Yes.
He has been suffering.
Please, sit down.
He has been suffering from blood vision. He couldn't see far. So when you made mention of...
short-sightedness.
Yes.
When do you have mention, glasses?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, let them come.
So when you made mention of somebody who received a linen, he felt the touch and he can see clear now.
This spectacles is for short-sightedness. The young man can see. For how long have you been using this? Since class 4. That's
yes.
We don't know where you are now. Class 4.
I'm in level 200 right now.
You're in 400 level.
Level 200.
200 level.
Yes.
And from primary 4.
Yes.
You started using this. Can somebody celebrate Jesus? You know, when such things happen, people believe we go in the night to talk to people on the street so that they'll come here and testify that God has healed them. What's your name? Kelvin.
Kelvin.
Have you seen? Did we meet yesterday night too?
No, never.
We have to be doing this, you know, because some people that do showbiz have also mastered the pulpit and they do stuff that looks like miracles, but they arrange. Somebody called somebody's phone, cell phone in Abuja, and the name of the person that came out on his phone was Miracle. So what's that? Miracle. It's the one that they send to arrange people to do fake. May the Lord help us. So this is not a plan, okay? Thank you, Father. The miracle is permanent in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are released.
There is also another miracle here.
Yes, there's a miracle.
Sister Barbara, she came in here with, according to her, a pounding pain on her left side. While the prayer went on, the pain vanished and she's healed.
You had a pain here. So, did you feel anything before the pain left?
No, I
just realized that it had gone.
Yes.
All right. Yes, it has gone. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate. And it will not come back. Okay.
They are
released.
Benjamin.
Now,
yes.
Someone in this place with a blood condition. Your blood has changed, so you can go to the lab, do a test. Your blood has changed. There's something that has to do with your blood that has changed. So you can confirm that in the laboratory. Yes?
This brother has 3 miracle package in one service.
Okay.
The eyes.
What happened to the eyes?
She couldn't see clear.
Yes, please. I couldn't see clearly. Usually at night. But
at
I realized
night,
that
at
my
night.
Eyes.
Yes, got to.
Severe chest pain.
Okay, chest pain.
And severe pain on the leg. 3 of them, the Lord handled this night.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Let this miracle be permanent in the name of Jesus.
There's someone on the phone. Yeah, you are released. Someone that used the phone now. The person you prayed with or you connected with is healed. You may wish to confirm it. Someone on the phone. No. Someone on the phone. There's a phone miracle. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, there's a miracle here.
Phone.
On the phone.
Okay.
He called his friend from Adenta.
From what?
Adenta.
Where's that? Okay.
It's a place in Ghana.
A place. There's a place.
He was having severe headache. Severe migraine headache. And you did mention of migraine headache.
Okay.
The headache disappeared.
The headache disappeared.
He is made whole right now.
Yeah. What's your friend's name? Come. What?
Winfred.
All right. Okay, the guy is not here. Somewhere. You know the place. Drop that mirror. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. You know, we use a facility like this and they had security guys. So when we said, use your phone to call a sick person, the security man remembered his colleague that was deaf in one ear and called him. He said, there's a young preacher here, he believes in healing. He says people that are deaf should put their ears in the deaf ear. Do you know that security man at home got healed and began to answer the call with the deaf ear? So we've seen crippled people walk by phone call, you know. Right?
Amen. Brother Michael,
with,
also
there's still another phone call. Someone you call on the phone is healed. Just check. Okay?
Brother Mikey also, by the message of God, received two miracles at once. Eye problem resolved.
Okay.
Was having short-sightedness.
Short-sightedness.
And then severe chest pain healed.
All right. Short-sightedness, the eyes have been corrected. Did you ever use glasses? You use glasses. For how long did you use the glasses?
And 4 years.
4 years. Come. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. So I'm waiting for you. Make that call. We need to confirm one miracle. Somebody on the phone has been healed. Quickly. If you used your phone to call, call again. That's what I'm saying. Call again. You have 2 minutes. While we are trying to confirm that, bring that stuff. Quickly. I want to do something in the next 5 minutes. Meanwhile, make the call. Those of you that called out, there is a miracle that we need to pick up now. Okay. I have a form here I want to show us. This form is for those people that want to partner with RCN in Ghana. It's called Remnant Kingdom Stewards. If God has spoken to you, you felt an impression before this time that you want to be part of the partners that will be committing finances based on your own weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, annually, this is the form that you are going to use to indicate your interest. Now, the ushers will take the form into the congregation. Don't sign up emotionally. Right? Because we will not call you to say, okay, we've not really. It's a covenant. And as the Lord increases, you increase it. It's a covenant. It's between you and God. We will get an aspect of the form that will be returned to us for the purposes of documentation. Okay? No one will call you. So it's an avenue for you to sustain a financial covenant with us in this expression. And so the ushers will be passing by. If you are interested to be a partner, you can take the document. God bless you indeed. There's an aspect of the document that you will give us for administrative purposes. The aspect of the form is the part of the form that looks like a perforated paper space. So you cut that out when it is filled up, and then you will return it to us, and the rest aspects of the document you will take home. So it's for people that are convinced that God wants them to be a part. And when we talk about partnership, it doesn't necessarily mean big money. It's a covenant that requires consistency. Okay? So, If that is your desire, you can reach out and practice financial covenant with God through that form. And just in case, I guess the forms are adequate, but if there are no adequate forms, we will direct you further. So please take your time. Don't come into this emotionally. It's not an emotional call. It's for people that are willing to practice covenant. It's not about the amount, it's about your faithfulness. And if you happen to be faithful, and no one will talk to you, so it's your own personal integrity and commitment. And if you are faithful to it, the Lord will be faithful to you. So that's what it's about. No emotional partnership. Let it be something you are convinced about. Okay? We have 2 more minutes to do that. 2 more minutes to do that. 2 more minutes to do that. Don't do it emotionally. If you have a witness about it, practice covenant, practice partnership. And this man you are seeing on the pulpit is the greatest partner in this ministry. Yeah. Till this moment, no one has beat my record. And I will not say more than that. So we are not telling you to do what we are not doing more. So you can practice partnership. Little covenant with God. And then watch God do his own thing in your life. That's how we grew. Even financially. So, you are blessed. In the name of Jesus. For those of you that are already partners, I want to salute you. I want to salute you. We are determined to roll out a lot of outreach initiatives in Ghana. It wasn't very easy doing the voter missions, but we have accomplished that. And the invitation that we have now is to the northern region, which is the place I really want to go, where we meet people that know the devil. I can consult oracles. So we are going to the northern region, and the Lord will fund it. All right. So the partnership thing is so that you can practice financial covenant with God. If you are not, don't do it emotionally. It is something you will do with your brain functioning. This is what I want to do. All right. So anyone that receives the form emotionally, you can return it. It's not emotional. It's an opportunity to practice covenant. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. Finally, before I take my seat, we had a good feedback on our mission to the voter. And I was moved with compassion. And I believe that will not be the last time that we'll be heading to that region. We are trusting God if we can arrange our outreaches. The intention is to visit every single region in this country and to mobilize intercessors that will take responsibility for regions, for territories, that the thing that God wants to do will come to pass. Maybe in the next trip, indicate interest to go on a mission. You will learn one or two things on the field. You've been in Accra for too long. School in the University of Ghana, school, your primary school was here, your secondary school, and you are here. You married from here. There's a place called Volta. You have to visit it. It's a place called Northern Region. You have to also. The Lord give you understanding. In the name of Jesus. That's my own little way of saying that we love the nation of Ghana passionately. And we are willing to sacrifice always to ensure that what God wants to do comes to pass. I celebrate you. God bless you indeed.